Welcome to today's Villeray podcast. I'm Michael Hedstrom, and with me today is George Young, partner and portfolio manager here at Villeray & Company. At Villeray & Company, we often talk about the fact that we invest selectively and independently, and that our investment process has been refined over decades and tested in virtually every market environment. All of the $2.4 billion in assets under management is also managed in-house. George, thank you for joining us today and for sharing your perspective on our investment approach and the work we do for both high net worth individual investors, multi-generational families, and institutional clients.
Great. Thanks for being here.
George, let's start with your overall investment philosophy and approach. Can you talk a little bit about your investment strategy?
Sure. Glad to do it. We think it's very important to understand what you're investing in. And we at Villeray tend to be more focused on small and mid-cap. We're also bottom-up investors, meaning that what we try to do is select stocks that will perform in most any environment, because as time has shown, and I've been here since 1986, the market environment changes all the time, and certainly from year to year, and certainly it's different today than it was in 1986. But overall, this is a family firm, and it's important that the four of us believe in what we're investing in. And so we try to pick stocks that we think will be appropriate for our investors, and each individual slightly different over the long haul.
By design, concentrated portfolios facilitate investing in the highest conviction ideas and therefore limit overlap with an index. Why do you use a concentrated equity portfolio approach?
We think it's very important to know our stocks and to understand what management does, why their services or goods that are provided are different than their peers. And it's important to us to have done our homework ahead of time. Again, investing is different than any sort of gambling, and we think it's important to understand. As a result, we think that our highest conviction ideas merit more concentrated investing. And so it's important that we have 20 or so different stocks in our portfolios. These represent the best researched ideas, and we feel that we understand, and we're actually partners as opposed to just passive investors in these stocks.
And then passive investing and index funds and ETFs, you know, are getting a lot of attention, as you know. What does active management matter when investing in small and mid-cap stocks?
Well, it's very important that as an active investor, we research, as I said earlier, each of the different stocks that we invest in. The problem with passive investing has become that the FANG stocks represent the popular stocks. And I think it's important for investors to differentiate between popular stocks and stocks that merit purchasing based on rational metrics. In this case, if you take a look in 2020, the FANG stocks, and those would be Facebook, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, they all grew at collectively 56% in 2020. If you take those out of the S&P, the S&P would have been only up 11%. So unfortunately, the popular stocks have gotten all the attention, and that's really pulled passive investing in at that direction. So any passive funds have to buy those stocks just by virtue of the fact that they're popular. And we think that's a bad approach. It's going to end poorly.
How does your overall market outlook affect your investment strategy?
Well, we tend to be long-term investors. And unfortunately, when people discuss the term market outlook, they think about what's going to happen the next day or the next week. And I think that's really a disservice to any sort of investment plan. There's always going to be a rotation between different stocks that are popular or ones that seem to attract attention from investors. So I think it's most important to look long-term. Obviously, you can't see a pandemic or a war or any sort of trade dispute on the horizon. So it's most important for investors who have the ability to think long-term to actually invest for the long-term.
So kind of just to summarize what we talked about, you're not closet indexers and you're not trying to mirror the benchmark too closely. You do pay attention to the overall market environment, but when it comes to the portfolio holdings, you look at individual companies and the merits of those companies for the long-term. So with that backdrop, how do you manage risk in your portfolios?
Well, it's an important thing to consider because risk means different things to different investors. And again, as you might expect, we're going to treat the older investor, the mature investor, if you will, somebody close to retirement, somebody in retirement, different from the hypothetical trust fund baby. But what we always do is look at certain characteristics. Those would be income needs, risk tolerance, taxes, age, and then any sort of unique factors that might play into our investment decisions. So those are the ways that we would manage risk. And again, many times our clients will discuss about what everyone might be doing right now, what the smart money is doing. And it's important for the investor to understand that they are unique. They have their own set of needs, and hence they should have their own individualized portfolio. So I think the key is paying attention to what the needs are, whether the client recognizes or verbalizes them individually.
And when it comes to risk, a little more specifically on the individual companies and the portfolio level, can you expand on that a little bit and what you look at in terms of constructing the portfolio?
Well, obviously, diversification is important, and it's also important to diversify throughout different sectors. The S&P's characteristics have changed, and so at this moment, for instance, energy represents only about 4% of the S&P. If you go back 15 years ago, it would have represented more like 15%. So again, it goes back to that theme of what's popular and what's appropriate for a given client right now. So diversification is key, but also it's important to understand from time to time, if stocks are a little bit expensive, and that's how it is right now in May 2021, we've got a little bit more cash than normal. And there's been pushback from clients who say, gee, the market's continued to go up, so shouldn't we be 100% invested? Well, it's important to take, quote, some chips off the table. I hate to use that gaming analogy. But yeah, cash is helpful to have at this moment in time.
So you touched on really what my next question was going to be. And then for the balanced portfolios, how is the asset allocation between stocks, bonds, and cash determined?
Well, it's important to understand that cash yields nothing right now, and bonds yield just slightly better than nothing. And so it's a little bit concerning to us that if we were to put money in bonds, we'd arguably not be beating inflation. And that's important for clients to realize. On the other hand, bonds do offer a certain foundation to a portfolio, and many investors crave stability, and that's important. So it gets back to the know your client rule. So stocks, although expensive, do offer dividends in many cases, and those dividends should grow over time, which should be a hedge against inflation. So we don't have much inflation in the economy at present. But again, we've all heard about the wage controls and the problems that are inherent in the economy, and that the consumer wants to spend again. In due course, there will be some inflation. So again, it's individualized. It depends on what a given client needs, what their tolerance is, what their longevity is.
The portfolio management team has been in place for a long time. What are some of the benefits of the team approach?
Well, number one benefit is that we're all related. So we've interacted with each other for some time. As I mentioned earlier, I started here in 1986. My Uncle Sandy started in 1961. Sandy Jr. started in 2000. And Lamarville started in 2013. So it brings different perspectives to the table based on age and based on experience. But the fact that we've known each other and interacted for a long time is important. That's not to say that we always agree completely. But when there is any sort of discussion, we do find unanimity before very long, because it's an objective exercise.
You mentioned that you've been with Villeray since 1986. What are some of the important lessons you have learned from your decades of investing and key principles that have transcended time and market condition?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that this is investing and it's not gambling. I've said that before. So anytime that the market feels overheated, it's good to think about that and understand what the principles are that lead it to feel overheated. And you can usually find some metrics that make sense. And again, having done this since 1986, history does have a tendency to repeat itself. For instance, right now, there's a lot of irrational exuberance, and that's a well-turned phrase, but it seems to emulate what happened in 2000 with the internet bubble. There are a lot of stocks out there that don't have any earnings. They do have revenues, but the problem is that these are stocks that seem to be popular. And there's an old adage, stocks are seldom cheap and popular at the same time. So sometimes when it feels the worst, you need to do the buying. A good example of that would have been late March of 2020. Everybody, all investors that is, were scared of what the pandemic might bring, and for good reason. But at the same time, looking backwards, you can see that there were some great opportunities.
Yeah, those are good comments. You know, history, maybe not always repeat, but often rhymes. And all those lessons are good for our investors to keep in mind. George, any final words to our listeners?
Well, I hate to fall back on old adages, but there was one that my grandfather had, and I mentioned one before: stocks are seldom cheap and popular at the same time. The other is, don't fall in love with a stock because it won't love you back. Some people tend to hold on to their fill in the blank. Microsoft, in days past, it was Exxon or IBM. But again, just the mere fact that I mentioned days past, Exxon and IBM, you can see that nothing lasts forever. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind.
Thank you, George. We appreciate your insight and perspective.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks also to all of you who tuned in and listened to this podcast. If you have any questions and for more information and insight from Villery & Company, please visit our website at villery.com or call us at 504-525-0808. This concludes our podcast. Have a great day.